Hello, this is Rita Schulte, and I will be reading excerpts from the Bloomington Pantograph for Saturday, November 14th, Sunday, November 15th, and Monday, November 16th. We'll begin with page one of Saturday's paper. The headline is Seeing Green, Illinois Cannabis Sales Soaring During Pandemic. Ray Stevens wanted something to manage chronic back pain. A father of young kids, Stevens, 33, of Bloomington, or of Normal, that is, visited Beyond Hello, Bloomington Normal's first recreational-use cannabis business, for the first time on Wednesday. I've got three herniated discs and a deteriorating joint, so I want to find something that can help me with that, especially in the nighttime when I'm trying to lay down, or say in the middle of the day when I'm out playing with my kids, he said. Amid a global pandemic and ensuing economic slowdown, cannabis businesses remain a rare bright spot in the Illinois economy, raking in millions of dollars and tax revenue. It is in large part thanks to a designation that keeps dispensaries and cultivation centers open under Governor J.B. Pritzker's months-long stay-at-home order. The decision put purchasers of marijuana on the same level as going to a pharmacy, filling up the gas tank, or using any other service of a designated essential business. The transition from outlaw to essential was remarkably fast. The state legalized recreational pot only in January. Since then, consumers have spent more than $500 million on the product, Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation data shows. About 74% of the sales came from Illinois residents, but more than $128 million came from out of state, a new kind of revenue from outside Illinois. In October, Illinois generated a record $75 million in adult-use recreational cannabis sales, a nearly $8 million increase from the previous month, according to the IDFPR. It is a highly lucrative segment of the economy, especially as other states loosen restrictions. Juicy Holdings Incorporated, a global cannabis and hemp operator, brought the first recreational cannabis dispensary, Beyond Hello, to McLean County in May. Since then, the store serves nearly 500 customers on its busiest days, said Blythe Hustis, vice president of Juicy Holdings Incorporated. Fortunately, we establish really strong relationships with the vendors in Illinois and nationwide, she said. The impact wasn't too significant, however. Flower is by far the most popular product in Illinois, and there was a small shortage. We still had the product available, but the selection wasn't as wide. Despite a slight dip in the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, Molly Cunico, Beyond Hello brand ambassador, said sales only continue to increase. She described the virus as being a damn kind of holding the business back, since people were unable to just walk into the store to shop. The store quickly pivoted to online ordering in order to serve as many customers as possible, she said. Now, the store completes anywhere between 45 and 70 orders per hour, and it opened Thursday to walk-in shoppers. I can't wait to actually see more of what it will look like outside of the world of Corona, she said. If people could just walk in and come visit us, I think our sales would really hit an uptick. Wynetta Lemons, 36 of Normal, also came to Beyond Hello in Normal for the first time last week. The store sells a variety of flower, edibles, cartridges, topicals, tinctures, and extracts. We have no clue what we're going to get, said Lemons. I heard of a lot of good stuff about this place, so I just wanted to try it for myself. Illinois is one of 15 states that have legalized recreational adult-use marijuana, a number that has been growing almost every year. On November 3rd, Arizona, New Jersey, South Dakota, and Montana legalized recreational use of cannabis, and South Dakota and Mississippi legalized medical cannabis. Illinois allowed all 55 of the medical dispensaries to add adult-use sales at their existing locations and open a second adult-use location after legalizing adult-use marijuana January 1st. The state planned to award 75 new recreational licenses through a lottery system, which was placed on hold after unsuccessful applicants alleged the process unfairly excluded minorities, the Chicago Tribune reported. The state has issued 70 licenses for dispensaries under the new law, 24 of which were issued since January 1st. State law could allow for as many as 500 locations, but elected officials in some areas like Decatur have refused to issue permits out of a concern about the impact of sales. Other areas have put the question of allowing local sales up to voters. Last week, residents in six Chicago suburbs, Mount Prospect, Batavia, Glen Ellen, Elk Grove Village, Park Ridge, and Wilmette, voted in support of advisory referendum to allow the business. On Thursday, a new dispensary opened in a former Outback Steakhouse in Springfield, the city's third. For municipalities and the state, the sales have brought in about $63.1 million in sales tax from January to August, according to the latest sales data. Another $69.7 million went to the Cannabis Regulation Fund, which gives money to communities that have been disproportionately impacted by the justice system or used to address substance abuse and prevention and mental health. Juicy plans on expanding business in McLean County with an additional Beyond Hello store in Bloomington, said Hustis. The company purchased property at 118 Keaton Place with plans to renovate and open later this year as a recreational adult-use cannabis. The space was previously Slim Chickens, a fast food restaurant. Sunnyside Dispensary in Champaign witnessed a similar pattern after beginning adult-use recreational cannabis sales in January, said Jason Erkes, Chief Communications Officer for parent company Cresco Labs. In January, I think every dispensary across the state saw long lines and very heavy demand. And that was a great way to launch the program, said Erkes. Those sales and the demand continued through February, and then the pandemic hit in March. We're fortunate that cannabis was deemed an essential industry. The dispensary, like Beyond Hello, had to quickly implement, that is, strict guidelines at the start of the pandemic, including going online sales only for adult-use marijuana. Erkes added that the dispensary also experienced a slight product shortage due to increased demand, which was expected. Erkes said the dispensary has consistently seen a steady stream of new customers, especially during the pandemic. We've heard from customer after customer who are looking for an alternative to help dealing with what's going on in our state and the world right now, Erkes said. Customers have been turning toward cannabis to help dealing with everyday wellness, including symptoms of anxiety, sleepless nights, and depression that this pandemic is causing. Under federal law, marijuana remains illegal and in the same class as heroin or LSD. That has discouraged major banks from doing business with marijuana businesses, which also were left out of the coronavirus relief packages. One new Sunnyside customer, John O'Neill, 69 of Monticello, said he supposed it was stress of the election that enticed him to visit the dispensary on Monday. Tina Lee of Bloomington also visited Beyond Hello in Normal for the first time on Wednesday. It was the first time she had been to a dispensary since recreational use was legalized, but said she was very impressed with the store and its operations. Lee said she didn't understand why recreational cannabis was ever banned since it has so many medicinal uses, adding that there are a lot of people out there who have eating disorders who could use it, or maybe depression. Cunico said many of the Beyond Hello customers have mentioned increased symptoms of depression and anxiety brought on by the pandemic, which led them to seeking out alternative ways to treat their symptoms. It was a bit of a boom because people were feeling that, and it was a source of comfort. It was a source of getting that anxiety relief without spending a ton of money or going and getting pharmaceutical meds, said Kuniko. It's a hard time. I really think it's affecting everybody really heavily on their mental health. And I just feel like that's where we really fit in, is helping people get through this super difficult time. Ian Hoggison, 19, of Bloomington, said he was recently approved to use medical marijuana to treat anxiety and depression. He said it has helped him increase his productivity and that it's a comfort knowing he has it in event of an anxiety attack. The only thing that will help with my depression and anxieties, he said. Jerry Dengbenban, inventory manager of Sunnyside and Champagne, said companies such as his are trying their best to normalize and professionalize the industry. It is a new legalized product for us all here in the state of Illinois, he said. We're all just trying to learn our best and try to guide people in the best way we can to help them in their daily lives. Dengmanvan said Sunday, Sunnyside hopes to eventually continue its consulting option, which helps customers find product that fits their wants and needs. Additionally, he's just said people are researching and learning more about the product, which is leading to increased customer curiosity and becoming more comfortable. Irk has said it's difficult to predict what the market will do, but that Cresco has seen an increase in sales each month and new customers who have never purchased cannabis before. I think it represents the demand and the interest in cannabis as a wellness alternative, Irk has said. People are turning to it for dealing with mild pain and aches to help them sleep, to deal with the symptoms of what's going on in our world today. And from page one, Unit 5 to return to remote learning. 3-week adaptive pause response to COVID IDPH advice. McLean County Unit 5 schools will close to in-person learning starting next Wednesday, the district announced Friday afternoon. Obviously, we've all been aware of the increasing positive cases in McLean County, and the Illinois Department of Public Health released last week's information today around noon, and those data points confirmed what we suspected, that we would need to move backward, Superintendent Christian Welke said Friday afternoon. The IDPH data put Unit 5 back in Stage 1 of the Return to School plan, which indicates all students should be remote. Many of McLean County health metrics used by the district worsened this week, which gave Unit 5 the required 10 days' worth of data to trigger a change in plans to keep our students and staff safe, Welke said. Effective November 18th, an adaptive pause will put all Unit 5 students under fully remote instruction until December 7th. Students will not be in attendance on November 18th to allow teachers and staff time to prepare the transition. In a letter to families and community members, the district said, "Please know that we are taking this action to protect the health and safety of our students, staff, and families. We know that this decision will please some and anger others, but health and safety must be our priority. As of Friday, 63 students and 29 staff members have tested positive for COVID in the past 2 weeks, with more than 370 students and 145 staff going into quarantine from having close contact with positive cases." This move to remote learning comes about 5 weeks after Unit 5 schools began welcoming students back for in-person instruction in mid-October. Welke said she is optimistic the community health data will improve within the 3 week between Friday's announcement and December 7th. "I'm hopeful that it turns around sooner rather than later, and I know it will at some point, but I'm extremely optimistic that it will be as early as possible. But it's definitely going to make the community making good choices following guidelines and guidance. The district administration is hoping to return to hybrid learning soon, but this will depend on the status of COVID-19 and the guidance we receive from state and local officials. Those health guidelines include avoiding large gatherings, wearing a mask, washing hands, and practicing social distancing. All activities and athletics will pause during this stage as well. Additional details about schedules and the plan for remote instruction are available on the unit's district website at unit5.org. And from page A3 of Saturday's paper, the headline reads, Catholic Schools to Shut. Peoria Diocese to Transition to Remote Learning Next Week. The Catholic Archdiocese of Peoria announced Friday that all 42 schools will transition to remote learning next week, expecting to return in mid-January. It's precautionary, said Sean Foster, principal of Central High School, Catholic High School, that is, in Bloomington. With 26 counties in the diocese, it's just really the escalation of the positivity and exposure rate for COVID-19 in the state of Illinois, but in particular in the counties that our schools reside in. Local Catholic schools will close to students starting Monday, but Foster said Central Catholic teachers will continue to teach live from the building, keeping students on the same schedule, using video conferencing starting at 8 a.m. on Tuesday. Our students will be receiving instruction from our teachers. It will be live, synchronous remote instruction, but they'll see them virtually, he said. The diocese previously said schools would take an adaptive pause after winter break, which means students will begin the semester with an additional week of remote learning before the schools open to in-person instruction January 19th. Before the announcement Friday, Central Catholic had been offering in-person instruction for all 58 days of the school year so far. While we did have a few positive cases, there was not a single COVID case that was transmitted within our building, Foster said. The school year started with about 20 Central Catholic students opting for remote learning, but by the second quarter, half of those students were back in the classroom. We essentially had over 90% of our student body in the classroom every single day receiving instruction from our teachers, and I'm really proud of the way our students, faculty, and staff responded to the guidelines that were given, which allowed us to stay open for that long, Foster said. In Bloomington Normal, Central Catholic Epiphany, St. Mary's, and Corpus Christi will be affected by this announcement. The state on Friday announced that there were 15,415 new confirmed and probable cases of coronavirus in Illinois, including 27 additional deaths. Also, from page A3, Illinois gives Connect Transit $9.92 million. The Illinois Department of Transportation on Friday awarded $9.92 million in grant funding to Connect Transit. The funding is part of Governor J.B. Pritzker's Rebuild Illinois Capital Program. We are very pleased and gratified to receive this additional funding commitment from the state of Illinois, Connect Transit Board Chairman Ryan Whitehouse said in a statement. This takes us one step closer toward realizing our dream of a new downtown Bloomington transfer center. Connect Transit plans to utilize the funding to expand and improve service in downtown Bloomington, purchase 4 35-foot electric buses, and help complete an additional 90 new bus stops as part of the Better Bus Stop campaign. Transit in our downstate communities can be a lifeline for getting to work or school, a doctor's appointment, or a trip to the grocery store, said Acting Transportation Secretary Omer Osman in a statement on Friday. This funding through Rebuild Illinois means these providers finally will have the resources they need to improve service in communities that have not seen this type of investment for many years. Also from page 3, headline reads, Kettle Goal, Rescue Christmas. Salvation Army kicks off annual fund drive despite pandemic. Just when you thought nothing was going to be normal about the upcoming holiday season because of COVID-19, the Salvation Army of McLean County on Friday announced the start of its annual Christmas fundraising campaign. Yes, red kettles began going up on Friday at some stores in Bloomington Normal, with more locations to come later this month. But in a nod to the coronavirus pandemic, Salvation Army did not begin the campaign with its traditional kickoff event. This year, Our world has faced many hardships due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Major Laura Lesher, who is co-officer with her husband, Major Daniel Lesher, said in a prepared statement, "Hardships that were felt and continue to be felt here in McLean County. Salvation Army has continued to serve those in need during these unprecedented times. This holiday season, we are calling on the community to help rescue Christmas," Lesher continued. "The true reason for Christmas is indeed the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is because of him we seek to meet human need without discrimination. And we join our brothers and sisters in celebrating his birth. This year, the Christmas season truly is in need of rescuing for those most vulnerable in our community." Lieutenant Justin Tracy, Assistant Corps Officer, announced the campaign co-chairs Matt Sigobiano and Aaron Earhart, both of the Bloomington Fire Department. Through Sigobiano's leadership over the past 20 years, the fire department has been among the top bell-ringing groups. In the past 20 years alone, Bloomington firefighters have collected more than $50,000 in the kettles. Goal of $500,000. Salvation Army Director of Development Angie Buban said the Corps hopes to raise $200,000 from the kettles and $300,000 from other sources, such as through mail and online donations. Last year's campaign set a goal of $520,000, but raised $497,814.52. The campaign is the largest fundraiser of the year for the Salvation Army, whose services include the Safe Harbor Homeless Shelter, the food pantry, case management to help people out of poverty, rent and utility assistance, veterans services, and youth programs. People may donate at the kettles or online at salarmy.us/bloomingtonkettle or at www.sabloomington.org, Buban said. Anyone interested in volunteering to be a bell ringer may go to www.registertoring.com. And from page C1, GM recalls Chevy Bolts, warns not to park in garage. General Motors is recalling all 2017-2019 model year all-electric Chevy Bolts because they may pose a fire risk. The automaker is warning owners of those vehicles that until dealers can make a software fix, they should reset their battery to a maximum of 90% charge to lessen the risk of the car catching fire. If they cannot do that, GM advises not to park the car in a garage or carport. GM said it found 5 vehicles in which the batteries caught fire without any impact with smoke inhalation. The automaker filed the voluntary recall with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration Friday. It involves 68,667 vehicles globally. Of those, 50,925 are in the United States, said Jesse Ortega, GM's executive chief engineer for the Chevrolet Bolt EV. In GM's initial investigation, it found that the 5 impacted bolts all contained high-voltage batteries produced at LG Chem's Uchang, Korea facility, Ortega said. We became aware of these incidents this summer, and we started to work with NSTHA on this, Ortega told reporters of GM's ongoing investigation of the problem. A lot of it is being able to get access to the vehicles and getting access to the data. Another commodity among the 5 vehicles was that they were, commonality that is, among the 5 vehicles, was they were at full charge or right below that. And so that jumped out at us, Ortega said. GM said it has developed software that will limit vehicle charging to 90% full capacity to mitigate the risk. Now, from Sunday's paper, page A3, the headline reads, "Downtown Parking Limits Return." On-street downtown parking enforcement will resume Monday, November 23rd, said Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason. As we approach the busy holiday shopping season, enforcement of time limits on downtown streets will help ensure convenient parking is available for everyone visiting downtown, Gleason said in a statement. Gleason explained that this enforcement includes all time-limited parking spaces. Garage and parking decks will continue to be free to the public until further notice. Vehicles must be moved from free on-street parking places after 90 minutes on weekdays. Parking enforcement was eased several months ago to make it easier for downtown bars and restaurants to offer outdoor dining during the coronavirus pandemic. The decision was made in consultation with others, trying to support our local businesses and trying to provide that opportunity for our patrons to come down and be able to take advantage of the merchants downtown, Gleason said in a video message released on Friday. Obviously, Monday the 23rd is the kickoff for the holiday season because it is Thanksgiving week. We realize this is not going to get 100% support and understand that with many of the decisions, but it is one that we did talk to many, and I think it is best for our downtown merchants. Discussions are continuing on future changes for downtown parking, he said. We have had a long-standing conversation on what parking should look like downtown, Gleason added. Alderman Jamie Mathey, with his business downtown business hat owning Red Raccoon, has been very much involved with this, as well as the Transportation Committee for the city, as well as reaching out through social media in trying to get input from the residents, business owners, and property owners downtown. That is a conversation that will be shared in the near future. And from page A4 of Sunday's paper, headline reads, Local Medical System Stressed. To understand COVID in central Illinois, go to McLean County Fairgrounds and count the vehicles. There were 1,081 tests done on Wednesday, for example. A day earlier, it was 1,244, an all-time high. It seems like every day we're breaking records, said Dr. Aaron Rossi, CEO of Reditis Laboratories, which does the testing. Records being shattered because the cases keep coming and coming. Rossi worries for how long. I think the worst part is yet to come. That's the scary part, Rossi said. Data backs up that prediction. We continue to see an increase in new cases and our positivity rate, said Jessica McKnight, who runs the McLean County Health Department. Been ticking higher for weeks, and on Friday, the New York Times identified Bloomington as a metro area with the second fastest growing case rate in the United States on a population-adjusted basis. On the front lines of the pressure cooker are hospitals, which have undergone an ebb and flow of caseloads since the pandemic started in the spring. They adapted. Now they're bracing for another round. The local and statewide COVID-19 data is very concerning, especially when you consider that numbers of hospitalizations tend to lag behind new case numbers, said Colleen Canaday, president of Carl Broman Medical Center in Normal and Carl Eureka Hospital in Eureka. With overall case numbers growing in our community, we know we could be looking at a larger volume of hospitalization patients in years, in the weeks to come, rather. Case in point, on Thursday, 21 COVID patients were in the Normal Hospital. During the first COVID surge in the spring, the high count was 10 COVID patients, said Melissa Wrighty, clinical coordinator, OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center. Cases are also up, said St. Joe President Lynn Fulton. And while they've not had to scale back elective procedures, that's always a possibility. Those resumed in May after being suspended when COVID struck central Illinois in March. But Fulton added that decision is fluid and could change if cases continue. This has been Rita Schulte reading you excerpts from the Bloomington Pantograph for Saturday, November 14th, Sunday, November 15th, and Monday, November 16th. Please stay tuned for the second half hour coming up very soon in just a few minutes.